Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I obviously missed the Jake Mariznick thing, which, again, yeah, made Twitter's head explode.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't even see it last night. I saw it today. And good on Jake for, you know, being the bigger man and keeping things from breaking out. Douchebag move by the pitcher to throw high on him. I don't like that. You knew he was going to get hit.
Yeah,
you knew it.
Yeah,
I mean,
but again, I don't know that he intended to throw high at him. I mean, when you're trying to hit a guy, it's not as easy as you think. Even for a really good major league pitcher. But yeah, I thought that was a little chicken bleep. But it probably had to happen.
Yep. If I could trade Kyle Tucker now for someone just to come here and help this team get over the top for this year, and that guy leaves at the end of the season, I don't care. If I win a World Series or I've got a real shot at winning a World Series because I've moved on from Kyle Tucker, okay.
I think anyone of quality that you have this year and next, absolutely. And that includes Stroman, that includes Syndergaard.
I'd give serious thought to someone of quality who's just for this year.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real. At Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You can also get on the Twitch channel, which has 43 people on it right now. And
nice.
You can chat. So if you want to see what we look
How
like.
How many of those people are tuning in and disappointed that it's us?
Oh, probably all of them, but that's okay. Just come back at 4 o'clock for the usual suspects if you're not into this. But
please come back at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah, because they'll be on then. We just flip-flop, so AJ could catch his flight as we head to Vegas, where we'll be talking a lot of boxing over the next couple of days. So, looking forward to that trip now. It's amazing how fast things change, because like last week, man, I don't want to go back to Vegas again.
I knew you watching that tournament would get you there.
Yeah, well, I am such a dork about it, man. I was just mesmerized, and I hated that that this happens every year. Like the last night, I just can't stay up the whole time.
Yeah.
And so I was smart enough to record it this time, but I find it fascinating. There's certain things that I'm just a huge dork about. Well, there's a lot of things I'm a huge dork about, but that's one of them. 936 says you guys should have a hot girl on for Twitch. Those guys usually get lots of views. We've had hots in here.
Yeah.
We've had a few here and there.
What, you think hot chicks just grow on trees? Hot chicks to come on our show?
And you think they're going to want to just come and sit here and smile and show off boobs for you?
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
I mean, if they want to, I'm okay with that. But, yeah, there's not a lot of them that we want to have on for a whole show, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of get sick of them. Well, maybe that's just me being married. Did you see that Mike Leach apparently still has some animosity towards Texas Tech?
Oh, forever.
He liked this tweet that I think a reporter tweeted out. It says, a reporter just listed off Texas Tech's record before and after firing Mike Leach. It's dark. How do you excite a fan base that's experienced losing for a decade? Long live the Pirate. And that was liked by Mike Leach.
Well, hey, I mean, that's not necessarily a negative.
Yeah.
That's a pro Leach tweet.
It is.
He's allowed to like that.
It is. And it's not like he tweeted out, oh, look at Texas Tech's record since I left.
Yeah.
And it's okay to like things like that. But I also have we talked about.
And he's not wrong, by the way.
No, he's not. He's not.
And the program's gone to crap.
Yeah. And I don't know. It takes somebody completely different to win there.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I mean, as handsome as he was, everybody was super excited. That guy, he just didn't get it done there. Now, it launched him to a better job at, you know, at USC, and then launched him to a better job in the NFL a couple days later. Good for him. But you're right. It takes a special kind of dude to coach at that point to have success.
Rico said, you guys switch with the suspects. I can listen to Straight Out of Vegas today, guilt-free.
Oh, no, don't do that.
No, those are our ratings, so we really want you to tune into the usual suspects today. So, because those numbers count towards us.
That's right.
So he said, I have a few you guys can borrow. I'm guessing Hots, since that's what we're talking about.
Wow.
Oh. I have another story for you. How much the Stranger Things kids made per episode?
Oh. Millie Bobby Brown, $500,000 per episode.
It's not nearly that. I mean, don't get me wrong. They do fine.
$200,000.
The first year, they made $20,000 per episode.
Okay, I'm talking about this last
year. And I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
Winona Ryder and David Harbour made $100,000 and $80,000 in year one.
Okay.
So in year three, the 16-year-old Finn Wolfhard, which that would have been a better porn name.
Yeah, that is a good one. Who is that?
I think that's the long-haired kid. I don't know.
Oh, that's the brother that turns into the bad guy?
No, I think he's the long-haired one that worked in the shop.
The ice cream shop
that
guy?
Thought he was going to hook up with a lesbian. Yeah.
So, and how did he not know she was a lesbian? God, well, you're wearing that sailor suit, Captain Obvious.
Exactly. So 16-year-old, 16, 17, 22, 25, and 14, $250,000 per episode.
They all got the same money?
Not all of them. Sadie's brother, Billy, who was turned into the bad guy, he only made $150,000 per episode.
Dang, that dude had to work out super hard to get in shape for that.
Yeah. Millie Bobby Brown.
She's the one that should be getting the money. She's the star.
She was paid the same as Harbour and Ryder, $350,000 per episode.
Even that seems light.
I think it does.
How much did the ugly curly-haired kid get?
$250,000.
Okay.
Here's the thing. First off,
but you know what?
That's a great movie for a bunch of people who can't act worth a damn.
Yeah, that is true. You know which kid didn't deserve a full cut this year? What's the kid's name that got abducted the first time or like went into the upside down? Will?
Yeah, he was like...
He was a joke character. He didn't do anything this season. Yeah, he did was every once in a while he'd touch the back of his neck. He didn't have any lines. I mean, he was basically just there to be there. That kid sucked. He got paid the same?
Yeah. Okay, so Finn Wolfhard was Millie Bobby Brown's love interest, Mike.
He got paid how much?
$250,000.
Oh, okay.
No, he got less. He got $150,000. Everybody else got $250,000.
Damn, Mike got less than Will?
Yeah.
These kids need better agents, man.
Well, I mean, honestly, considering the numbers they did, I think they're all a little bit underpaid. But considering...
Does it piss you off even a little bit that the curly-haired kid from Stranger Things makes more per episode than we make in a year?
It's not really more...
Oh, well, good for you. I'm not making $250,000 a year.
Okay, for radio, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But we do this. We come in here 3 hours every day. Kid does one episode of Stranger Things. That Will, especially, he didn't do anything in his episodes.
Well, you know, maybe if they put us on Netflix, we'll be popular and we can. You
know. And that's what the per episode thing is BS. Because there's some episodes where certain characters are barely even featured.
Well, and this may be average per episode. And maybe they do pay them differently based on that. I don't know. But it sounds like that was just flat what they paid them. And well, at least they can afford acting lessons now.
Yeah.
I think that would be helpful. But
I think this is a good... I need to bring this number to David Gow. $250,000 seems fair.
Well, I kind of feel like I'm in the Millie money area.
Yeah.
I think I should be.
Yeah,
in the
we
Millie
should
money.
Get Winona Ryder, Millie Bobby Brown money.
Yeah. I can get sloppy and fat to look like David Harbour for that kind of money. It's not a problem. So.
I guess we have to give John and Lance that too, though.
Yeah.
They've been putting up pretty well. Look, Lance gets that. We already know Lance is.
See, but they only work 2 hours, so.
Oh, that's true.
That show's only 2 hours.
But John works 4 hours.
Yeah.
So
But it's a different show. It doesn't count.
That's true. It doesn't count.
Yeah. We have it on a separate little category.
In fact, John, we're going to have to average out his ratings for the two shows in order to decide what kind of money he'll get.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
You're probably a little more... you're like the... what's the black kid's name?
Oh, God, I don't even remember.
I think that's where you average out. Max's boyfriend.
Oh.
The redhead chick's boyfriend.
Yeah.
Do you ever remember the names of the characters?
No, no.
I never do. Like...
I, 11 I can remember, but yeah, the rest of them, I couldn't tell you any of those kids' names.
I remember Billy, and I remember Mike. That's it. And Max.
Yeah, I guess Billy... Yeah, a little bit.
Because they say their names a lot.
Yeah.
That Will, they never said his name.
Well, like year one, he was a big deal.
He was. Well, year two was the bigger deal because that's the year where he was like, you know, Millie Bobby Brown's always the star, but he was like the secondary star. This year, I mean, he basically stole from him. He was like, I'm not doing any work. I bet that's what it was. Millie Bobby Brown got the pay bump and Will was like, hey, I don't know if you guys know this. I spent all last season in the Upside Down, super hard on my body. I mean, like...
Yeah, should be hazard pay for that.
Yeah, let me get that Millie Bobby money. And they were like, I don't think so. You're getting the same money as Steve. And he was like, okay, you want to pay me like Steve? I'll give you a Steve performance. And then he basically did nothing.
Oh, but good on them, man.
Yeah, get it while you can.
But you know how it is with child stars. What are the odds half of these kids are dead on heroin in 10 years?
For sure, the curly hair kid,
he's
going nowhere.
Yeah, because once this ends for them, they're just going to have a bunch of money and...
Dustin is that kid's name.
Okay.
And they featured him this season.
Yeah.
And he's a horrible actor.
And he can't talk. But what's going to happen is when this is over, they're all going to have a ton of money. They're not going to be able to get any other roles except for her. And they're going to wind up drugged out and dead. You watch.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Explain. Didn't want to wait while nobody came. I know the path ahead's uneven, but while I'm breathing, I have to make my own.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713 says, 11's boyfriend was actually in the new It movie and will be in the new Ghostbusters movie, too.
Oh, I remember him being in the It movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got the low-end rate.
Yeah.
Man.
I thought he had a bigger role than the other kid this year.
I mean, than Will?
Yeah.
Way bigger.
I mean, he was just making out with her the whole time.
Yeah.
Which.
Maybe that was part of his deal.
Kind of gross.
Yeah. Well, it's not like she's a hot chick.
No, but it's they're kids. You know? And it just. It's one of those, I don't need to see that. But.
You don't like watching kids make out?
No.
What, even with if it's with other kids?
It just, no, I mean, it's creepy. Mm. I'm a 54-year-old man. I don't need to want to see 15-year-olds making out.
That's probably a good call.
I had a George R. R. Martin update for you. No, his book's not ready.
Of course it's not.
He says the fan reactions from Game of Thrones will not change his books. Says, none of them, either positive or negative, will change anything he has planned for his final two books. He said, the internet affects all this to a degree it was never affected before. Like Jon Snow's parentage. There were early hints about who they were in the books, but only one reader in 100 put it together. I don't know if that's true. And before the internet, that was fine for 99 readers out of 100 when it gets revealed. But in the age of the internet, even if one person in 100 figures it out, that one person posts it online and the other 99 people read it and go, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's true. But you know, he basically says, I've always intended to write all along, and when it comes out, they can like it or they can not like it. So, no, I don't read the fan sites. I want to write the book I've always intended to write all along. So, I'm not very interested in these books. I'm not going to lie. Now that the series is over.
Yeah, he didn't beat him to it. He was too slow.
And I also feel like most of the series, and this always pisses off his book fans, I think the books are overwritten. I think there's too many characters. And if he thought there were too many in the show, there's a lot more in the books. And it's just, he drones on and on about certain things. And I just feel like they're way overwritten. And TV did a better job of cutting it down. But if he didn't like the way TV ended, I don't really want to read another 3,000 pages that gets me to the same ending at this point. And I love to read, and I'm all for people reading novels, JesusTheNovel.com. But I just don't know that I'm interested.
Did you see that Game of Thrones? Did you see how many Emmy nominees they got?
No, I didn't. I saw that Brienne got one.
How about 32 nominations for this last season of Game of Thrones? The most nominated television show ever. Season ever.
I'm not surprised. I mean, I know that there were elements of the show that I didn't like, but for the most part, they had some pretty memorable.
Oh, that just means what they did was they took, I think we can agree, there's no way this was close to the best season of Game of Thrones. You agree with that at least, right? I know you don't think it was bad.
No, I don't think it was bad.
There's no comparing this to some of...
Season 6 was the best season, in my opinion.
Okay. So, basically, what this amounts to is a Lifetime Achievement Award. Because there's no reason that this season should have been nominated for more than any other... Ever.
Staying on the Pulp Fiction theme, allow me to retort.
Okay.
I don't think there were nearly as many great shows this year. And I think that's one of the reasons why they got as many nominations as they did. Because in the past, you know, you were up against, early on, they were up against Breaking Bad and Mad Men and Fargo when it was good. There's a lot better shows than what's out there now. And I think this was a fairly weak year for shows. And I think that's a big reason.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that it's better than season 6 or season 1 or whatever. I just think that, yes, there's probably some of that Lifetime Achievement thing to it. But there's also, I mean, I just was not blown away by a lot of shows this year.
Nominated for, obviously, the big award is Best Drama Series. It's going up against Better Call Saul, Bodyguard, which is a Netflix show, Killing Eve.
Yeah, the wife watches that. She
I haven't seen
it.
That.
It's not for me, but she loves it.
Ozark. Pose on FX, which I haven't seen. Secession and This Is Us on NBC. NBC, the only network appearance in the drama series category.
Yeah, in my opinion, there's not a lot there where you say, wow, yeah, that was a great, great show. I mean, I liked Ozark. I liked Bodyguard. But
lead actor in a drama series, Kit Harington. Lead actress in a drama series, Emilia Clarke.
Okay.
Supporting actress in a drama series, Gwendolyn Christie, Lena Headey, Sophie Turner, Macy Williams. So that's like both
that's
Stark
all.
Sisters.
Brienne
and
Cersei,
yeah.
My problem with that is I don't think Cersei deserved it that year. She didn't really do much. She just kind of sat there and stared.
Who's Alfie Allen?
I think is that Theon?
Okay, he's not. Well, Alfie Allen's nominated for supporting actor.
He was pretty good.
Nicolaj Coster-Waldau.
Yeah, that's
Jaime. And Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage always wins.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was his best season. He's had better seasons, but I mean, he was a big part of it.
I don't know who Carice Van Houten was, guest actress in a drama series. She got nominated.
Who was it?
Carice Van Houten.
That's a Red Witch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, she's nominated.
I think that's a Red Witch.
Directing for a drama series. 5 episodes were nominated. 3 of them are from Game of Thrones.
Wow.
The Iron Throne, The Last of the Starks, The Long Night. The Long Night's the one... best director. You couldn't even see the damn movie. You couldn't see the show. It's the best.
Well, what's funny, though, and when I went back and watched it and changed my TV settings where I could actually see, which you shouldn't have to do, it was damn good.
Okay.
It's just, it got so frustrating watching it live because I'm like, I can't even tell, is that, you know, is that Little Mormont? Is that Arya?
It's absurd.
Is that, I can't tell who that is. Oh, is that a good guy dying? Is that a bad guy dying? It was confusing as hell. But once I did that, I was like, wow, this is pretty damn good.
Then writing for a drama series, Game of Thrones, the Iron Throne episode nominated.
Mm. What are they up against on the episodes?
An episode of Ozark called Reparations. And an episode of Killing Eve called Desperate Times.
Yeah, I tried to watch that, but the woman in there, I think she was in either ER or one of those kind of shows that I can't stand, Grey's Anatomy maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate her as an actress. There's something about her. It's in part her looks, her face always looks like she's in this bad mood. Or that she's a dumb, even though she probably isn't. She's probably a very intelligent woman. It's just the way she looks,
you know,
and comes
for
off.
For a woman. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh,
no, because there's a lot of guys that I feel the same way as actors about. Just the very look that they project. And, I mean, part of it's the character, but it's just, I can't stand it. I can't watch her. And it's like, I always say I have to have something to root for on a show. Yeah, I can never root for her, so why watch the show?
Right.
But... yeah, that's. I don't want to say this justifies their last season, but I do think the fan overreaction and the Hoffman overreaction was a little much. So,
well, I stand by. It was a disappointment,
and that's fine. It was a disappointment to you, and it was a disappointment to a lot of people on Twitter. But I think when they, you know, did the actual exit polls, more people liked it than didn't. It was just everybody on Twitter went nuts about it. But I can understand why.
But I mean, people still watch The Walking Dead because they're it's like the highest rated cable show on television, and they still watch it because they're zombies, and they have, or not the actual zombies, but like the people have become zombies and slaves to these shows that they feel like they've just got to justify why they watch it for so long.
See, I don't think that's the case here because you don't have to watch it anymore. It's done.
Yeah.
And if you didn't like it, you could just say, you know what? Yeah, I really didn't like it.
But if you spent however many seasons watching this, and at the end you go, oh, that sucked. People don't want to do that. That's not a good feeling for people.
No, but not everybody did that. But I understand why a lot of you guys did.
That's why most people, like they've done polls on this, like of people who leave, when people leave the movie theater, whether the movie is eventually going to be, you know, universally panned or lauded as a great movie or a crap movie, when people are walking out of the theater, they almost always say, oh, this is a pretty good movie. Like, rarely do they go, oh my God, I paid $16 to sit here for an hour and a half, and that was the stupidest thing ever.
I mean, people
aren't usually like completely honest about things that they've invested time and money into.
I don't know if that's the case anymore. I think that especially with social media, people are more than happy to get on there and say something sucked.
Oh, once they see somebody else says it sucked, then they're okay saying it.
I don't know.
People are scared to be the person who says it sucked because then it's like, you know, what if everybody else likes it and I'm the only one out here saying it sucks?
Yeah, there was like that one guy who wrote a negative review of Endgame.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell were you watching? Dip bleep?
It's like me saying, I don't really like James Harden. Everybody's like, what? Yeah, it's kind of like that.
But the thing is, it doesn't make you wrong. It's just an opinion. You didn't enjoy the show as much as other people did. You had some issues with it. There's nothing wrong with that.
And you can back me up that I didn't wait until the end to say I didn't like it. Like, I was a couple episodes in, I was like, what's going on here? This isn't as good as I thought it would be.
And I think that impacted your opinion of some of the rest of them, too.
Maybe so.
Because you were already at a point where, man, I don't like this.
I got frustrated early on.
Yeah, yeah, it happens.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about my computer career. If you're not happy in the job you got, do something about it. There's a great way to get into the IT field, My Computer Career, and it doesn't take a lot of time. Simple. If your job's garbage, go to mycomputercareer.edu, take the free career evaluation today. You could be on your way to a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. No computer experience or training is needed. Helping people start an IT career, that's exactly what they do. You attend classes on campus or live online just a couple times a week. Get everything you need for your career. And then after you graduate, they're going to help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon. Go take that free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. mycomputercareer.edu.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And I don't know, this feels weird. There's only two segments left in the show. I feel like I should be, you know, doing my usual show prep, which is, you know, coffee or masturbation. I don't know. Should be doing that instead. We're on air. Well, that's back to back. That's, I guess that's a new record for earliest one though, because it's only 3:33.
That's true. No, I had some probably some noon. I had some nooners back in the day.
Yeah, probably so. Well, okay. Make sure you tune in at 4 o'clock for the usual suspects today, and because those are our ratings. So please stick around for the whole time.
Yeah.
So we said I walked out of The Last Jedi immediately, saying it was complete and horrible crap. I thought that was pretty bad, too. Usually, though, something that I have high anticipation for that I don't like the first time, I'll give it another shot. And I think a real good example of that was Wonder Woman, because everybody was just praising it to high heaven. And the first time I saw it, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
That's what everybody was praising? And then I watched it a second time, and I was like, okay, yeah, it's not as good as they were saying, but I don't hate it.
Yeah.
Aquaman, I thought was terrible.
I think it was terrible, but I didn't think it was anything special either.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the plot was bad. I thought the only thing good about
I knew there wouldn't be a great Aquaman movie because it's Aquaman. It's like a crappy character.
Well, it is a crappy character, but it is a popular actor and a good actor. Yes. So then everybody was praising it, and I'm like, oh, man. And then I watched it, and it's like,
I have to, like, tell my younger son still doesn't, like, his favorite superhero is Batman. So he's
nothing
big,
wrong with that.
It's a big it's Batman a guy, and I'm cool with that. But then when you start asking him what other superheroes he likes, it's like, I think his second favorite superhero is the Flash. And I'm like, the Flash sucks. Like,
how did you raise a DC kid?
I don't know. My other kid is like, he barely cares about DC stuff, but he likes the Flash. He likes Ant-Man.
I like Ant-Man though.
Yeah, I do too. But it's like, what? I mean,
yeah.
That's your favorite superhero group? Like, your Mount Rushmore of superheroes is Batman, The Flash, Ant-Man. Like, what? I don't even know who his fourth one is, but it's probably some other weirdo superhero.
I have a interesting story for you.
Interesting story.
They ranked the best NFC East quarterbacks of all time.
Ooh.
And I'm curious if you can, like, some of these guys, I'm going to give you the bottom, like, 8 through 15, and then see how many you can guess.
Okay, well, first, let me say, I don't know how, like, when Roger Staubach played, was there an NFC East?
Yes.
And the Cowboys were in it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and hint, he's on the list.
Okay, I assumed.
All right, number 15, Nick Foles.
Oh, my God. What a horrible quarterback conference.
Yeah, well, wait till you hear some of these other names. Number 14, Neil Lomax of the Cardinals. When the Cardinals were in the NFC.
They were in the NFC East.
Yeah, for a long time. Number 13, this feels low to me, Randall Cunningham.
Yeah, I would have thought he'd be higher for sure.
Yeah. Number 12, Mark Rippon of the Redskins.
I would have thought he'd be ranked higher than Mark Rippon for sure.
Yeah.
Was I just convinced that Randall Cunningham was a good player when I was a kid? Because I was a kid?
I thought he was a really good player. Ron Jaworski, number 11, Jaws.
Yeesh, okay.
Here's one I barely remember. I just remember this guy was fat. Billy Kilmer of the Redskins.
Yeah, I'm not familiar.
He was a Pro Bowler in 1972 when he led the NFL in touchdown passes with 19.
Man.
Different era, definitely. Jim Hart of the Cardinals is number 9. Danny White of the Cowboys at number 8.
Oh, okay.
So now we're getting into your so-called elites.
Okay.
See if you can name the top 7 here.
Okay. I'm betting I can. Do you want me to try to do them in order?
You can try, but I mean...
Because my number 1 has to be Staubach, right?
Number 1 is Staubach.
Number 2 has to be Troy Aikman.
Number 2 is Troy Aikman.
Now, I think I actually have my list of who the guys are.
Okay.
But I've just got to figure out an order. Eli Manning's so difficult to rate for me because of the Super Bowls.
But he's obviously in
he's top seven. In that top 7 for sure.
Yeah.
I think I would put him 3, although I'll tell you the guy that I think may be his biggest competition is Donovan McNabb.
Donovan McNabb is number 3 on the list.
Okay. Then it should be Eli 4, Tony Romo 5.
They have it flip-flop. They have Romo 4, Eli 5.
Ooh, that's disrespect to Eli.
Yeah, it's a little bit disrespectful.
And then my other two guys that I thought of are Phil Simms.
Number 7.
And Joe Theismann.
Number 6.
Okay.
So you're pretty close on that.
Not bad.
Yeah.
And I, like, for Theismann, I'm not, like, when he was really good, I wasn't old enough. Like, I didn't care about football. Like, when he was in his prime, I didn't, so I don't know as much about him as the other guys.
Yeah, he was MVP in 83.
I was 3 years old.
Yeah, I was 17.
Okay.
18, somewhere in there. So I was watching a lot of football.
So he was probably a big star back then.
Yeah, he was. He was. And I remember watching his leg snap, too.
Mm.
That was...
RIP leg.
Yeah. But I when I was a kid, Staubach was... I wanted to be Roger Staubach. I wanted to be quarterback of the Cowboys. And then it turned out that you had to have talent for that.
Yeah.
And athletic ability. And so it didn't quite work out for me. Somebody said, I fell asleep watching Aquaman on a flight and woke up and restarted the movie and fell back asleep.
There you go. It's like melatonin.
I tried to watch it again on the plane and give it a second chance at doing the same thing. And it's just like the good parts of it, the visual parts, they don't work on a little plane thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm just wasting my time here trying to want to like the thing. Cause I liked him in Justice League. I thought he did such a great job with a character that I don't care about. I don't care about a fish.
No,
it just doesn't do anything for me. But yeah, you can tune out the music. We're done with the list. We're back to nonsense and superheroes. Have you seen Spider-Man yet?
Yeah, Spider-Man? I saw it opening weekend.
Your thoughts? Because I have not yet seen it.
I thought it was pretty good. My kids loved it.
Well, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
As long as they're happy with it. I'm really interested to see where they go with everything from here. Because they did such a good job of ending it.
Yeah.
And... yeah, I guess this next phase is going to be completely different. I do know that, what did I read? They were making a second. Oh, they're making another Thor movie.
With like a follow-up to.
Yeah, it's going to be like Thor 4, apparently.
Post Endgame?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's the same guy who did Ragnarok.
Okay, that was a good movie.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite Marvel movies of all time, frankly. And I think if they, you know, if that's a guy doing it, cool. I guess it'll be Thor in space, but yeah, I'm okay with that. I was kind of hoping he would just be part of the Guardians. But I like that character. I'm glad that it's going to continue. So what about the new Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix? I'll watch it. I'm excited about it. I love the Joker. I mean, it's hard to ever match Heath Ledger's Joker. But I love that character so much.
Yeah, except I the cool thing about the Joker to me is like he's a mystery. It's a mystery how he turned into what he is. So them like starting him as a kid, and I don't know how I feel about that. I don't want to know why.
Yeah.
That's one of the cool things about him is you don't really know why he's all jacked up.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've done origin pieces on him before in the
but it's like
Tim Burton Batman.
Yeah, he fell into a vat.
Right.
But we don't know, like, supposedly, the Joker has been crazy since he was a child. is like what this what they're trying to do, and that's kind of what they went with in the Gotham. You didn't watch that show, did you?
No, I never did.
Pretty good show, but I don't know how I feel about I don't really want to know his background, because that's what's kind of cool about him, is you don't know where he came from or why he is what he is. He's just crazy.
Well, but when he's at his best, again, Heath Ledger, there's justification for his crazy. He justifies his craziness perfectly.
Yeah.
He convinces you, like he convinced Harvey Two-Face to...
But somehow he got to that point where he understood that level. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't really want to know how he got to that.
Somebody says it starts when he's older. The kid you see in the trailer is actually Batman as a kid.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's cool. I don't need to see Batman as a kid. All right. One segment left. And then we're off to Vegas.
See you.
Quick break. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
You know how we sometimes complain about radio stations in Houston?
Yeah.
Who sings this song?
Panic at the Disco.
Okay. What genre would you consider that?
Probably alt-pop.
Okay.
Yeah, which is what the alternative channel plays now on Sirius. It's all this. It's alt pop.
This is what I was in my wife's car, and my wife doesn't have satellite in her car. I was listening to I'll leave it as an unnamed Houston alternative rock station.
There's only one.
Oh, is there? Yeah. My bad. I was in the car for maybe 20 minutes. I heard that. I heard a song that was Ed Sheeran featuring Chris Stapleton.
But did you actually listen to it?
Yeah. I get it. It's still Ed Sheeran. And I heard 21 Pilots. And it's like, dude, if this is rock, this is your rock station in 2019, what are you doing? And I've complained a lot about that station that still plays like the Clint Eastwood song by the Gorillaz that I don't even know when it came out, but it gets played once a day without fail once a day. I don't know what that station's doing. Like, there's some decent music out there, some rock music, but you got to play it.
But it's not just them, because like the wife loves that damn alternative channel on Sirius, and it's that same stuff. It's like Cage the Elephant, and you know, to me that's not alternative.
No,
to me alternative. What, you know, alternative was Soundgarden and
yeah,
Pearl Jam and those guys, but that isn't the same as what they're calling alternative now. It's really just pop. And that's kind of on you,
but
Aaron.
Don't call yourself a rock station, is what I'm saying.
I know. It's because that's not rock.
Well, their imaging says rock and alternative, but I mean, that's what the genre has moved to now. It's moved to a more pop and commercialized thing. I mean, if you listen to the only classic rock station in the town, they play Alice in Chains or Nirvana and Pearl Jam from time to time too.
Well, that's okay, because
yeah, but that sucks, because if I want to hear that original classic rock, I want to hear, like, if I want to hear the Stones and Zeppelin, where do I go?
I mean, maybe I think we need more separation of genres then, if you're going to call it original classic rock.
Like that,
I think you could call
Channel 26 in your car, the classic vinyl.
Yeah.
That's what I consider classic rock.
Okay. Maybe we could call Alice in Chains vintage rock.
Maybe. Yeah, that's all right.
I don't know.
But if you hadn't seen it on your wife's dash, that it was Ed Sheeran, Chris Stapleton, and Bruno Mars, who would you have bought it as a reel?
Like this. I still know Ed Sheeran's voice when I hear, even when he's trying
to do. No, but without that. Had you just heard the song,
like just
would you
the
have
music?
Bought into
it? Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a guitar. That doesn't necessarily make it a rock song either. I don't know.
I wish we had time to play the whole thing. I want to get Fred's opinion on it, but...
Hey, I don't know if you saw this. Friend just sent me this. The Los Angeles Police Department was responding to a reported drone strapped with explosives, possibly fireworks, near downtown Los Angeles on Wednesday.
Oh, boy.
Man, people are going to... they're going to be the reason we don't have drones
anymore. Yeah, you guys keep messing around with these drones.
Yeah. All right, I have deaths. Let's do them.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to get off on a tangent.
That's okay. Tangent away.
Other radio stations.
Tangent away. I wish, I've said this all along, I would love to have a rock station like we used to have with 101, and maybe that's just because it's what I grew up with.
Yeah.
But I would like to, one of these days, if I ever get enough money, I'd like to buy a station and do that again and make it classic rock and current rock and all the stuff that we love.
Yeah.
Or all the stuff that's on my playlist, basically. All right, let's see. Bunch of names here that I don't recognize. So, how about John F. Kennedy Jr.? Not the good John F. Kennedy, but the kid.
I mean, this one was fine too.
Plane crash at 38. That's not a good run. Corey Monteith from was it Glee that he was in?
Yeah.
Dead at 31. I remember my daughter being very upset when he croaked in 2013.
Tell her stop looking up to heroin addicts.
Well, you know, she's not a much different than her dad. July 13th, George Steinbrenner, dead at 80.
Damn. Didn't he always feel older than that?
Yeah. Yeah, it felt like he was much older. Tex Schramm, original president and GM of the Cowboys, dead at 83. And that was in 2003.
Okay.
Lady Bird Johnson, 2007. Former first lady. Alexander Hamilton, 1804, dead at 49 in a pistol duel.
That's a good way to go out.
Yeah, I wish we could still do that. I wish we could still have duels to settle things.
Draw. You say win.
I'm your Huckleberry. Play for blood? That's just my game. Okay, don't get started on that. Dolly Madison in 1849.
The pie maker?
No, she was the first lady of the United States.
Doesn't she make treats?
I think so. I'm sure they're related somehow.
Yeah, like if you type in Dolly Madison, the first thing that pops up is Dolly Madison Bakery, Zingers, Ice Cream Maker, Snack Cakes, Coffee Cakes. Sorry, Dolly Madison. You've been reduced from former first lady to pie maker.
Interesting. July 15th, 1883, the first famous small person, Tom Thumb, dead at 44.
I see what's happening here. Dolly Madison has an E in it. That's the first lady. Dolly Madison, that's the snack cake maker.
Okay, I like
with
that.
With no E.
I like that one better. She's more meaningful.
She's the preferred Dolly Madison.
Okay.
Okay.
This is the...
Now that we've cleared that up.
Yeah, lesser...
When did Dolly Madison, the snack cake, what do they call it, magnate? When did she die, Aaron? We'll find that out.
All right, here's your best deaths, allegedly. July 15th, 1521, Ponce de Leon. Search for the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah, how'd that work out? You were a little too late, weren't you?
He only made it to 61, so I'm going to say Fountain of Youth did not quite work out. July 14th, 1881, Billy the Kid.
All right.
Shot by Pat Garrett at age of 21.
Damn, Pat. His friend.
Yeah.
Stupid Pat Garrett.
Go shooting guys in the back. All right. Sweet Pea Whitaker, we talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
July 17th, 1961, at the age of 74, Ty Cobb. 2009, Walter Cronkite. Dad of cerebral some kind of disease at 92. 92 is a hell of a run.
Yeah.
All right, two porn stars. 1994, Savannah, also known as Shannon Michelle Wilsey. Dies from?
Strangled by a pimp.
It says dies after a suicide attempt at 23. It sounds to me like she succeeded. So
when you get it right, they don't call that an attempt.
Yeah, yeah. July 15th, Nancy Kelly, 1991, died from?
I'm going to go overdose.
Hung herself in her apartment.
Damn it.
But you know what? She probably had OD'd before then.
Probably so.
So I'll give you partial credit. And that's going to wrap it up. Good job, Aaron. Good job, AJ. I was functional today. Stick around. Make sure you listen to the usual suspects from 4 to 7. We'll be back in our usual slot tomorrow from Vegas. Tune in. Till then, stay sports, you bitches.
ESPN 97.5.